Good morning. Today is Tuesday, the 31st of May. Joining us this morning from Fortuna PD. Must be a little too warm down there. Casey Day.
Good morning, Brian. Yeah, not complaining. Beautiful weather over the weekend. So
yeah.
Great Memorial Day weekend.
I just kind of sat out and did that. Well, I did some weed picking. That was about it.
There you go. Riveting stuff.
Real weeds. Weeds with the roses. Weeds. Yeah. Oh, geez. You ready for your question here? Let's see if we can find something. Sports talk often follows the ball, is our category. Okay, why do we use the phrase play the field?
Ooh, I should know this one. Hit me.
Horse racing, the sport of kings, attracts persons willing to take a risk. Anyone wanting some of the action, confident of having picked the winner, is likely to bet on only one animal. Persons less sure or more cautious like to spread both risk and opportunity. Often that means placing a wager on half the horses in a race. With luck, winnings will be larger than losses when the money is spread out throughout the field. Action in the realm of male-female relationships can be even more risky and potentially more rewarding than choices made at a parimutuel wagering window. Here, too, some are bold enough to concentrate on a sure thing while others play the field in order to hedge their bets.
Sounds like a little bit of strategy, Ryan.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Did Merritt push you out in front, or was this one planned before last week?
No.
You were gonna visit us?
Yeah, no. He actually has his son who's in college in town visiting, and he had some time off planned. So
better priorities elsewhere.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but it was. As usual, pleasure to come up and visit and be a part of the show. So I'm looking forward to it.
Well, with the shootings that have happened, there was a not a blog site. I guess it's a prep site that I saw this morning, and it said, you know, that the focus unfortunately is now in Texas, right? And we'll talk about school and that stuff in a sec. But in Chicago, there were 48 shootings over the weekend. Baltimore. Or Philadelphia, pardon me, had the highest number of homicides this weekend with 16. This stuff goes on all the time in major metropolitan areas, and you don't hear diddle about it. Not to lessen the impact on any of them, but it's interesting how myopic we get when it comes to certain issues. And I think violence, whether it's gun-related or any violence, seems to be just there. I mean, if we talked about domestic violence, I'm sure that it would be just as egregious and probably far more stunning. When you hear these stories, other than that initial sadness, is there a frustration?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's unfortunate that this type of violence has become commonplace in the United States. And you know, I think the greatest frustration for me is, you know, you'll engage in conversation with people over, you know, these incidents. Since, you know, for example, did you hear about the shooting in Texas, or did you hear the shooting here or there? And, you know, people in large part have become numb to it to some extent because it is happening so often and on a regular basis. And, you know.
Well, even listening to local news here.
Right.
In the county, it's not that extraordinary.
Right. Yeah, it really has, you know, become part of what we as society are used to hearing in the news, you know, on an almost weekly basis now. And it's not just one event, it's several.
Is it more prevalent or is it just more reported?
No, I think it's more prevalent. I mean, I think if we look at the hard statistical numbers, we'll see that, you know, over the years, these mass shootings have risen in the frequency in which they occur. So, yeah.
As the discussions start, a number of folks, and I'm kind of falling into this bailiwick, see this as a rise of mental health related issues. And whether it's because there's not enough money's being spent there, because there are more and more people that need it. When we see the folks, the wandering wounded in the county, Mm-hmm. A large percentage of those folks are needing mental health services. Is it too easy to say this is a mental health problem?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we want to do that, right? As kind of our nature as human beings is we want to say whatever the issue is that, it, you know, this is the cause, this is the causation, this is the reason why. And I think it's too easy to do that. I think there's a multitude of different reasons about why things happen the way they do or why people do what they do. And, you know, mental health is certainly a valid point, and it's a valid reasoning. I mean, obviously people that engage in this kind of violence aren't well, but there, you know, there are other things that, you know, we want to blame. We want to blame and strengthen gun control issues. We want to, you know, blame and, you know, look at what security measures are in place. And, you know, it's always going to be a culmination of many different reasons why these things happen.
Communication seems to be a big deal. I think came out the tail end of last week that this kid had claimed that he wanted to shoot up when he was 14.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, no, wait a minute. Okay, so if that was known, why didn't things happen? But immediately I go to, and how many others are now making those same statements that aren't being addressed because maybe they're being dismissed, maybe because there's not enough structure, available resources, whatever it might happen to be.
Mm-hmm.
Do you sense that there is a communication issue here too?
I mean, I can't speak for other regions or other jurisdictions. I can tell you that it does go on. It happened recently for me. We're no longer in a position where, you know, we can just take those words at face value and have the ability to dismiss them. You know, we have to act and take them seriously.
Well, how's that for a tease? You know what we'll be talking about when we come back. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Fortuna Police Chief Casey Day. Casey, before the break, you said that there was a comment made.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of akin to what this kid in Texas had made also, presuming it was in Fortuna. You've got a school resource officer. Is that the channel it came through, or was this done independent of that and the department uncovered it?
No, exactly right, Brian. I mean, you know, what I was saying before the break was, you know, we can't afford to dismiss off-the-wall statements anymore. You know, we, especially in Fortuna, we take those type of things very seriously, despite the fact that we know, you know, we were all kids once. Kids sometimes say stupid things. I mean, for that matter, adults sometimes say stupid things. But, you know, we use a threat matrix in which, you know, once, you know, some sort of comment suggesting violence or shooting or anything else like that is made, you know, we really do a very thorough job of contacting the student, making sure that we get everybody that you might reference as a stakeholder in the room. So we have school officials and school administrators, parents and guardians, our school resource officer, and other members of our investigations bureau at the police department. And you know, part of that is finding out why the comment was made, you know, whether there is any you know, seriousness or accuracy to the threat and what the motive was, is there access to firearms, those type of things. So
is it always guns? You think about the guy in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he could have, you know, no guns at all, it wouldn't have stopped him. You know, Molotov cocktails, I know there have been some of those against some churches and some anti-abortion entities in the Northwest. The hesitation seems to be gone for certain people in, in these situations. Is there almost a specialist on staff that's monitoring all these various things? If all of a sudden a lot of fertilizer is sold, not in the bags, does that trigger something? Do you get those kinds of communication links in? Are they in place right now?
Well, I mean, for the type of things that you're talking about, first off, let me address the issue in the schools. I mean, you know, our school resource officer plays a vital role in the link between, you know, kind of what is being reported to or spoken about with school officials and the administration and with, you know, my organization, the police department. And so, you know, it does provide us the ability to address things head on. Now, on these other, you know, more, you know, kind of sophisticated type of intelligence that you're talking about, maybe with the fertilizer. I mean, we receive something called open source intelligence. I get briefings once a week. I have
Is that county, region,
state? I have a volunteer with the Fortuna Police Department that serves as a terrorist liaison. And part of his job is to collaborate with our federal partners and to, you know, read over and decipher that open source intelligence and make sure that, you know, I'm aware of it. So
yeah, I don't want to say the good old days, but let's just say the old days. Mm-hmm. You know, we had a lot of the environmental terrorist activities going on. Different breed of cat than what we're talking about, but there was a lot of activity in the area. You're smiling. That's still out there? Is that?
No, I just remember the pictures of what was it, green,
which one? Earth First Epic?
No, it was pictures in college and in some of the books that I was reading of some of the environmental stuff.
Joey Butterfly and the whole gang.
Yeah,
you weren't in college that long.
Well, but the books were. I think older than me, Brian.
So. Okay. So this goes back to Green.
I'm just speculating.
You're thinking Greenpeace then.
Greenpeace.
Not some of the stuff we've had more recently. Yeah. Right. There were boats involved.
Yeah, rafts.
And, yeah, okay. Yeah, you can't pull that one over on me, buddy.
I still got the books.
Why?
I don't know.
Okay.
Well, I like books.
I know. I've got some old. Yeah, it's like
one of my favorite things.
When did I go? 35, 40 years ago, right? Law books, you know, business law. It's like, I know those things are so antiquated now, but it's like, it's a hardcover book. How can you throw? we will when it comes time. But
yeah.
It's like, those are just.
They're treasures.
Tough. Well, yeah, I mean, a book is a book. Mm-hmm. You know, book burning for me is, you know, almost sacrilegious.
Yeah, absolutely.
So with this backdrop of what's been going on locally and then the national stuff that's going on, obviously there's heightened sensitivities to what is. Part of that, I would suspect, are parenting skills, too.
Mm-hmm.
Is there an emphasis? I mean, I know it would sound weird to have Fortuna PD pushing parenting skill classes and social classes and things like that, but has that been put on the table to discuss about how to deal with frustration, how to deal with some of the stressors that some of the kids have got, short of throwing away the silly cell phone and not watching and paying attention to Facebook and those types of things?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's something that, you know, we push, you know, with and through our school resource officer program and, you know, also things that we discuss about at some of our town hall meetings.
Do kids show up for those?
No, it's normally the parents.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are they receptive to those messages?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Any type of education or resource we can pass, you know, people seem to be genuinely motivated.
PTA, baby.
Yep.
It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Meet Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, Here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Fortuna Police Chief Casey Day. Casey, security at schools. It's obviously it's come to the forefront an awful lot. Most, I think, maybe all of the Eureka City schools now have got fence perimeters.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a push the last little bit, which is, you know, in hindsight now, makes a ton of sense. You want to know who's on campus and who isn't. Other than the high school, I mean, that's an open campus. And I think there are plans to change that also. But all the elementary schools are that way. The junior highs are that way. Is that something you're going to start looking to in Fortuna and making those suggestions that, guys, you know, maybe things have changed enough that we do need to have all the way around and some kind of limited access, or not limited access, known access?
Yeah, I mean, things have got to change. And, you know, whether it's Fortuna or, you know, just nationally speaking, I mean, we're going to continue to see these type of things happen until we take some sort of, you know, action that is actually going to deter or, you know, provide some sort of barrier to this type of violence. And so, you know, if that is the use of, you know, actively monitored surveillance, fences, constructing schools in such a way to where they're, you know, designed not to necessarily interfere with the students' education, but to protect them and keep people off campus that aren't supposed to be on campus, we need to take a more proactive role. And whether that is, you know, using all of those different, you know, aspects to help protect our campuses, or, you know, having security that is actually doing roaming patrols on, you know, on the campus property, and contacting those people that, you know, are suspicious for whatever reason.
Just don't look like they belong.
Yeah, or don't belong there. I mean, that's going to be what gives us, you know, some sort of action in which we can intercede.
Yeah, the old days, it used to be concern about drug dealers,
mm-hmm.
or boyfriends that were older than high school age, you know, kind of hanging around a little bit.
Yeah.
Are those, have they been lessened now? Do they not occur so much? Are they still there, but it's kind of seen as low-level stuff instead of some of these other areas?
I mean, yeah, it's still there. Nobody wants drugs on campus. I mean, drugs are not good for, you know, our children. They're not good for society. Yeah, we want to make sure that those things don't make their way onto campus. But, you know, the bigger priority right now is the rate at which violence is occurring on school campuses throughout the nation. And, you know, it's no longer, you know, it's not, we can't say that, you know, these are small communities in California, we don't have to worry. Everybody is susceptible to violence on campus, and you know, it's not a question of if, it's a question of when. So, you know,
now, when you say violence, okay, we have this top shelf violence that gets the news.
Yeah, the violence, the mass shootings,
but fights, knives, threats, that kind of stuff that are part of high school. Also,
mm-hmm.
have you experienced an increase or a report? An increase in the number of reports for that kind of stuff that's going on? Are those kids that are acting out just not able to have other outlets?
Well, there's a couple of questions there. I mean, first, I would respond to the first one and say that I don't think there's necessarily an increase in students fighting. Students have always fought. I mean, when I was in high school, I was involved in, you know, a fist fight or two, and it happens. But I wouldn't say there's an increase in it. I would say that, you know, sometimes fighting is just a normal part of regular antisocial behavior that children sometimes exhibit. But, you know, to your other question, as so far as, you know, the weapons, whether they're knives or guns, you know, I don't think it matters. I think it all presents a potential risk and a serious threat to, you know, what's supposed to be going on school campuses.
Sure, you could have baseball bat.
That
kind of, or baseball itself.
I mean, there used to be this poster that, you know, that I think I had one back in like 07, and it was a breakdown from the Department of Justice on, you know, national homicides. And, you know, back then, firearms were way down on the list. You know, it was like bludgeoning objects such as a bat or a hammer. There were all kinds of causations for homicide that ranked far higher than firearms, and that's not the case today. So,
well, and I guess you get into all kinds of ways to dissuade, but yeah, you know, I think you probably have met Merle Harpum. Okay.
Yeah.
But you know, Merle in the late 50s, when they go to school, you had your rifles in the back of the pickup truck because you were going out, you know, duck hunting,
right,
after school, right, or you'd done it before school.
Right.
It was more prevalent, but you didn't get the shooting. So I'm,
yeah,
as kind of a social experiment, why?
Yeah. I mean, where
is the difference now? Because guns have always been around.
Well, I mean, you know, same thing where I grew up and went to school. I mean, as long as they were locked in the rack in your truck bed, I mean, no harm, no foul. That day's done. It's over. And, you know, you have to draw that line. I mean, I am, you know, anti some of the gun control that's out there. I don't believe that gun control in and of itself is going to solve this problem. Where people are motivated to get firearms, it doesn't matter what the law says. Criminals will access, if they have the appropriate level of determination, what they want to get their hands on. So you can write the laws, we can enforce them, but it doesn't mean that somebody who isn't truly motivated isn't going to obtain what they want to obtain.
Legally or illegally.
Correct.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with airlines going to seven cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right, you can fly on American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood, Burbank, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable, so book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Casey Day from Fortuna PD. As we know it today, the police actions or lack thereof, I would suspect that that was just as much a core issue for you as the event itself or the events. You know, you throw in Buffalo and anything else. Drilling on it is one thing. Locking up in the moment doesn't really do anybody any good at all. Was that a point of concern for you?
Absolutely. I mean, I've thought about this for, you know, over a week now. I mean, I think, you know, as it happened in Texas and, you know, with our federal partners who made the decision to go in there and, you know, take action.
Yeah, the Border Patrol guys.
I mean, it was the right decision. You know, that's what we train on here locally and regionally throughout the county. You know, the sheriff and I have had very pointed conversation about this issue, and, you know, the trainings that we offer and practice on that are in regards to active shooter response is the same. So, you know, we're not training to wait.
There was a viable thought, and, you know, obviously the police chief there screwed it up. But how do you make the determination if it's an active shooter or a hostage? Negotiate or attack?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are there protocols and ways that you're able to make that determination?
Yeah, well, you start shooting on a campus, you're an active shooter.
I mean, period, end of story.
That's it.
Until you're gone,
right,
one way or the other.
Right. We're going to respond to you, and we're going to eliminate that threat.
So do you think this guy was he locked up in the moment, or...
The shooter?
No, the police chief.
I mean, you know, it's in the eye of the beholder, Brian. I mean, it's hard to Tuesday morning quarterback something that...
Well, and that's what you want to avoid.
You know, I will. I'll avoid it this morning. I mean, you know, I wasn't there, and you know, I wasn't privileged to the totality of the circumstances that were in front of that chief or that commander at the moment, but... you know, again, here locally and regionally, we have a different mindset. And that mindset is something that's ingrained in our officers. And, you know, we have one job in an incident like that, which is to, you know, drop what you're doing, respond in. We don't wait for cover. It's, you know, go and locate and eliminate that threat.
Border Patrol. A lot of folks don't have the most positive impression of them. And I was fortunate enough and spent a week at the Air War College. Mm-hmm. There was a Border Patrol guy who I think he was like number two in the Border Patrol. He was part of our group. Was able to spend some time talking to him. But I think that there's a lot of folks that don't give them validation, just like park rangers.
Sure.
And people like that that are sworn, they're law enforcement just like everybody else. Mm-hmm. Even the Indian police departments.
Mm-hmm.
We actually do have a fair amount of protection around our neighborhood here. Mm-hmm. With all of the state agencies that are here. How often do you guys all get together? I know the chiefs get together, but does that bring everybody in, the tribal police and everybody else?
Well, I wanted to mention something before we go on to that. You had brought up the Border Patrol, and, you know, I think you're right in the sense that, you know, sometimes, you know, the public doesn't necessarily correlate that, or they don't think about those other, you know, type of sworn positions that aren't, you know, every day, I guess, would be the best terminology to use. But, you know, I remember my last duty station at Camp Pendleton, you know, there were a lot of U.S. Marines
you're right there.
And military yeah. that were recruited into Border Patrol because they were looking for a career in federal law enforcement. And, you know, that was a job that they had got into, kind of as getting their foot in the door with the federal government as far as law enforcement. But those men and women are highly trained professionals.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're coming from...
They're just not riding a horse out in the desert.
No, you're coming from an organization like the U.S. Marine Corps. I mean, you know, there's no better training anywhere in the world. And so, you know, I mean, it's one of those, you know, things where, you know, if that is the case and you have a person who is in the area and they're well trained and they're willing to help out a jurisdiction, I mean, we'll, you know, Fortuna will certainly accept that type yeah. of help. So, you know, I thought I would make a point there, but I don't know, what was the second part of that?
Just do we have a large number of different law enforcement entities
yeah,
in the area,
yeah, yeah.
But does everybody come together periodically, or is it just the chiefs? I know that there's been an awful lot of discussion about combined dispatch and all, mm-hmm. consolidated dispatch and
yeah.
that kind of stuff, which is along that continuum.
Yeah. I mean, I think we could do a better job of, you know, cross-training regionally. But, you know, it isn't to say that we don't do a very good job of it. I mean, here's for example, the Fortuna Police Department just recently collaborated with the federal FBI. And we had put on a week-long active shooter train-the-trainer instructor course down in Fortuna. We did this a month or two ago. And, you know, we had 25 to 30 students that came from, you know, they're law enforcement officers that came from all over the region and even outside of the county of Humboldt. So we have PD, sheriff's deputies. We have... you know, people coming together to get that knowledge, you know, and actually practice and put it, you know, put that training, you know, in some sort of practical application.
Yeah, it would seem like a waste for a lot of people, the time, effort, and energy to do that. But then when you need it.
Yeah. But if you ask
showtime, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. You ask me, you know, every time as far as training, I'm going to say, yeah, we can always, everything you do is a training moment.
Yeah.
And we can always do a better job no matter what we're doing.
There's always more.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully it'll all be just tabletop and exercises and we won't need to see the results of the training.
Yeah. That is the hope.
That's the goal. Yeah. And I suppose the more you talk about it, the more it's known, maybe people are de-incentivized
yeah.
to think of doing that kind of stuff here.
Yeah, but, you know, falling back on always being as prepared as you possibly can be.
Isn't that like one of the military's mottos?
I think it's even the Boy Scouts, right? Aren't they? Yeah. Be prepared. Be prepared, right?
The basic crucible. Thanks for coming by, bud.
All right, thanks,
see everybody tomorrow.